Yes, I'd like to introduce you to one of them. Yes, I'd like to introduce you to Blog Talk Radio tonight here in the studios of blogtalkradio.com. My name is Vincent Turner. I'm hosting the show tonight. Considered it to be one of the most historical topics that we could talk about during this season. And the topic of the evening is the NFL black quarterbacks, the past, the present, and the future. And what I'll be talking about tonight, we're talking about some of these past black quarterbacks that have had outstanding seasons in their career up till now, the guys that paved the way for the NFL quarterbacks of the present. And when you look at the past, we're going to be talking about Prince Pollard, talking about Doug Williams, talking about Randall Cunningham, Doug Williams, 1988 Super Bowl champion winner. Then we're talking about the future. We're going to talk about Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, and we're going to try to tie all that in to where the black quarterbacks are now when we're talking about the plight and state of the quarterback position in the National Football League. I have some gentlemen that will be joining me tonight here on the show. One gentleman is Mr. Barry Brown, a renowned sports guy, a very educational guy here in the Atlanta area. He has a book out called The Student Athlete Playbook. And if you're in the Atlanta area, the surrounding areas, you can pick it up. A book that talks about the classroom and how to become a student athlete. Then my second guest will be Mr. Brian Spencer, one of the most outstanding young guys in this Atlanta area as far as covering college basketball, high school basketball, developing time from a training experience. So sit back and enjoy the show tonight as I'm waiting for my callers to call on air tonight. Phone number, if you want to join me, is 657-383-1177, 657-383-1177. Well, when you look at the plight of the black quarterbacks, I can tell you that it's really improved over the last 50 years. And I remember when I was 10 years old, a little guy going to historical games, watching the Tennessee State Tigers, not the University of Tennessee, but the Tennessee State Tigers play Old Crump Stadium in Memphis, Tennessee in the 70s, I got to see one of the best quarterbacks up close and personal. And this gentleman's name was Mr. Joe Gilliland. And I thought at the time he was the best quarterback I ever seen when he played the position. Well, if you know Mr. Gilliland's career, you know his life story. He went on and became a fourth-round draft choice of the Pittsburgh Steelers and became a starting quarterback with the great Steelers teams back in the 70s, back in 1974. And I think to this date, he's the only quarterback in National Football League history to ever be benched. But this evening, I'm going to bring up my first guest on the line this evening, Mr. Barry Brown, writer. Great man, has a great book out, The Student Athlete Playbook. How you doing, Coach Brown?
I'm doing wonderful. Yeah. Vincent. How you doing, my brother?
Okay, and then I have another guest that I'm going to bring in this evening. I think you know this young man. Let me bring him up, Coach Brown.
Yes, sir.
Bring him up, Coach Brown, if you can hold on. I'd like to introduce this gentleman to Blog Talk Radio and to the audience. He's one of the most talented guys I know in developing middle school, high school, and college basketball talent. His father was one of the first original black coaches at Syracuse University back in the 70s. My man, Mr. Brian Spencer. How you doing, Coach Spencer?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. How you doing, guys? Doing tonight?
Okay, you know, I got your friend on. I got your friend on Coach Brown with me this evening. So are y'all ready to start this topic this evening, gentlemen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can do it no better way than my brother Brian Coach Spencer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. So let's get this topic started.
I'm just calling in to listen. I'm gonna see what you guys got to talk about. I might chime in a little bit though.
You're going to join us this evening. We got about 23 minutes left in the show. I'm going to go and get the topic started because, Coach Spencer, I know you're very controversial. I call you the Muhammad Ali of college basketball. But let's get it started this evening. And we're going to talk about the history of the black quarterbacks. Coach Bradley, Coach Spencer, my question to you gentlemen this evening. You look at over the last 50 years, the quarterback position in the NFL was once – and I want to use this terminology correct. It was the Caucasian position. But now you're seeing the African-American has really, over these last 50 years, have made a big, big jump as far as being a leader at the position and winning at the position. looking at the position today, how would you think, coming out of high school, and both of you gentlemen dealing with high school kids on levels that a lot of people out in the listeners don't know, but y'all deal with them on a high level, do you think now it's more easier now to push a very talented African-American kid if he wants to be a quarterback at the college level and at the NFL level now? Coach Brown.
I do believe because of the progression, because of the advancements we've made, not just in sports but in society in general, yes, now it doesn't look as strange. It doesn't look like you're doing something that's never been done before. We can project young men of color to be quarterback in this day and age, no question.
Coach Spencer.
I definitely agree that the advances in society has a lot to do with it. Black presidents, seeing men of color in positions of leadership, because that's all a quarterback position is. It's a position of leadership. You're the franchise. You're the marquee player. So the more and more that we see individuals of color in those positions, I think that the more you're going to see it happen. I definitely agree with that.
Now, when you look back in overall, we had our first black quarterback that won the Super Bowl in 1988 with Doug Williams. And it was at a time that a lot of people felt like Mr. Williams wasn't treated properly, because after he won that Super Bowl, there was a lot of talk. It was a lot of excitement in the black African community of a first black man winning the Super Bowl. But after that, Doug Williams became very bitter toward the NFL because he said he really did not get a lot of endorsement deals leading from that victory. So looking at it now, do you think Doug kind of set the tone now? Because now when we see the African-American quarterback now, you're seeing Cam Newton getting all these deals, Russell Wilson getting deals. Before he got in trouble over there in Washington, I-33, Robert Griffin. What's your take on that, Coach Brown, first?
Well, it's an era thing. I don't think – of course we have to – well, let me say this. Let me start over. Of course we have to take into play that he is a black African-American quarterback, and I'm talking about Doug Williams. But if you look back in 1988 compared to 2013 when Russell Wilson – blasted on the scene, then we can't look at it the same, because that was not the norm back then as far as 1988 for a black quarterback to be doing what he was doing. He did something that was phenomenal. He did something that would never been done before. So I wouldn't even expect him in 1988 to get a lot of endorsement deals. Then let's look at it this way. But have we seen African Americans getting endorsement deals back then? Yeah, we did. We saw O.J. Simpson way before 1988. We saw Mean Joe Green with those Coca-Cola commercials. So a lot of times on the marketing advertising side, it has to do more so with your personality, more so than anything. So Russell Wilson has a nice clean-cut young man personality, a clean-cut image, whereas Cam Newton has this outgoing, just exuberant, smiling all the time, $1 million smile, that's attractive to advertisers and marketing agencies. So I think that has more so to do so with than more so you just talking about just straight out racism or something like that. I mean, of course we know it exists now. I'm not saying that, but Cam Newton, you look at Russell Wilson, and then you look at Doug Williams, bruh, that's three different images. And I can see why in this day and age, you see a Cam Newton getting the commercials and a Russell Wilson getting the commercials versus a Doug Williams type. Honest opinion.
So let me ask you this, Coach Brown. If
yes,
Doug Williams came along today and won that same Super Bowl, would he get the endorsement deals today?
He would have a better chance of getting them today because of the time. But depending on his personality, if you got a personality of a rock, then you just got a personality of a rock. You know what I'm saying? Your opportunities are not going to be as great. To think about all the quarterbacks that won the Super Bowl, all of them didn't get the commercials and all that stuff. They didn't. Trent Dilfer, I don't remember seeing him in no commercials.
But getting back to when Doug Williams won it in 88, I kind of have to disagree with you, Coach Brown, because at the time you did have some African-American quarterbacks that were getting endorsements. Remember, Randall Cunningham was the ultimate weapon, was getting deals.
Yeah.
You had Warren Moon that was lighting things up in Houston. Yes, sir.
Personality. That's the difference. That's my whole point. It's personality.
So let me get this right. So you saying Doug Williams was kind of aloof back then because he was a real bitter guy after the Super Bowl because he felt like he wasn't treated properly in Tampa Bay. And let's be honest, he only got the job in Washington because, one, Jay Strader was playing so poorly, and Jack what's the coach's name? I can't think. Joe Gibbs had to make a change during that season.
I agree with that. The bottom line is, I think it had to do with personality. At the end of the day, of course, racism probably has something to do with it. But, again, if you're not marketable, then why would they spend their dollars with you? That's what I would look at.
Okay, if you want to join us this evening, the phone number is 657-383-1177. We on Blog Talk this evening, 100 Yards of Football. First topic of the year, the history of the black quarterback, past, present, and future. Joining me is the very talented Mr. Barry Brown, student athlete playbook. Buy his books if you're down here south in the Atlanta metro area. And one of the greatest college developers of college basketball players on a middle school, high school, and a college basketball level, Mr. Brian Spencer. Now let's talk about the position. There's some people feel out there now, since the black African-American quarterback is now in the center, they still don't give him the label as a quarterback playing under the center. You know, I still hear terminologies like, he got great feet. He got great speed, and especially during the time of, I don't mean to put it out there, but especially the time of Michael Vick. To me, they still do not say, well, he's a great pocket passer. You know what I'm saying? Or he's athletic. Situation with IG3. When IG3 had that outstanding rookie season about 3 years ago in Washington, they still weren't saying he was a great passer. What were they saying? Great athlete. Great legs.
Mm-hmm.
So, to the day, even with Russell Wilson, he's a guy, great athlete. But terminology, they still not saying the type of guy that you hear the typical NFL quarterback, or he can read defenses. He's a student of the game. Do you think now, leading into this season, with the young man coming out of Huey-Town, Alabama, by the way of Florida State, who set the NFL on fire last year down in Tampa, Jameis Winston, do you think he would be the first accepted pocket passer that society will say, as African-American, Jameis Winston is their pocket passer in the NFL? Coach Brown.
Well, now, Coach Spencer, tell me if I'm wrong on this. We already understand that, though. I think the greatest pocket passer of African-American descent is Warren Moon. He
Absolutely.
Wasn't scrambling and all that stuff. I say we already seen it. It's just, again, when we start talking about racism and opportunities and things of that nature, we just ain't been given opportunities to play the position consistently at the highest level, which is the NFL. That's the problem. So if you start going back to Fritz Pollard and Joe Lillard and George Talaferro, I mean these guys got opportunity to play the position, but they didn't play it for a long time. So we did not see that true NFL quarterback. Me personally, well, let me just look at it from my point of view. I didn't see it until I saw Warren Moon playing at that level. And we know what he had to do just to get to the NFL. He had to go play
right.
in Canada for all them years.
Right.
Yes, sir. He won 6 straight Grey Cups over there in Edmonton.
Exactly. And then he got a shot in the NFL.
And
so
Coach Spencer,
I just leave it at that.
For me personally, I don't even care. Like, I'm not concerned with you calling me no great pocket passer, because to me that just speaks to your the limits you have of coaching. See, and what I mean by that is, see, everybody talks about Michael Vick for all that running he did. Well, he was running for his life because he had the offensive line. But now you got these guys that are running. They run it because the system is designed for them to run.
Absolutely.
So now that you can't coach if you don't know. So the problem with a lot of our quarterbacks, black quarterbacks, not getting to the premier college level and the professional level is one is that the systems that they run, most black quarterbacks that they run in middle school and high school, is not that prolific because we run on wishbone, we run the veer, we use our athletic ability at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
Because the traditional white quarterback can't move like that. He's not mobile like that. They designed the offense to protect him so he can stand back there and read because he can't run.
Mm-hmm.
But if the man who's touching the ball every single play is a threat, then make him a threat. I can care less about you calling me a pocket passer now. I'm going to make plays. That's what I'm going to do. You call me a football. Just watch me win.
Now, I'm going to ask both of you gentlemen this question here that's been a question on my mind for some years. Let's reverse scripts here. Right now, everybody's saying Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, 1A and 1B, are the greatest ever played the position, right? But I ask myself, what both of you gentlemen would think if Michael Vick was in New England under a system like Belichick, as Coach Spencer said, or in Indianapolis? How would you think his career would have turned out differently? Mr. Coach Brown.
Oh man, that's a tough question, man.
Let's say he was in Indianapolis.
I can help you out.
Let's say he was in Indianapolis and he had Marvin Harrison, Edgerrin James,
right.
Joseph Addis, Reggie Wayne in an offensive line.
I got you. I understand. Well, let's look at it like this. I'm gonna give you another perspective. I do not believe that Michael Vick, and I'm a Michael Vick fan. I'm a native of Atlanta. I support him when he was here in Atlanta. But my honest opinion of him as a quarterback, but the fact that I don't believe he ever learned how to read defenses. So I don't think he would have got better because he said it. I didn't practice. I did not ever learn. I never developed at the quarterback position. When he was at the stage of about to develop, they fired the first coach Hall of Fame coach.
Dan Reeves.
Yeah. Now, he would have developed better under Dan Reeves, but they fired Dan Reeves, and that was it. That was the end of his development. You heard what he did. You saw what he did in Philly or what have you, or wherever he went after Philly when he said, when he was up at the Jet, it was after Philly, when he was with the Jet, and the young man got hurt. And then they put Mike Vick in the game. He said, man, I don't even know the play. Remember, he said that. He said, well, that was two seasons.
Well, I'm going to have, before I turn it, you want to reach
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I'm gonna say this in disagreement there. His time in Atlanta, he never had an offensive line and the talent around him. Now, granted, he might have said that he was not being coached up or he didn't read the playbook, but then he had a situation, he had a coach in Jim Moore Jr., and you know this, Coach Brown, who's trying to be friends with the players.
That's true.
And really, let's face reality. Let's don't be hard on Mike Vick. Look what he had around him. He had a young Roddy White that dropped a lot of passes. He had a
sure
Brian Finneman, who was an undrafted free agent. He had a small running back in Ward Dunn. And who was really his best offensive lineman at that time? It was Todd McClure, the center. So basically, if you go there, and I can understand what you and everybody else saying, that he can't read the playbook, but think about this. With that team right there, he got that team for one game of going to the Super Bowl.
That team
over there averaged 30-some points a game. So how can you explain to me that he never learned the playbook under Jim Moore in Jim Moore's first year?
Not the playbook. He never could read defenses. That's two different things.
Okay, read defenses.
How
did you go through a whole NFL season, Coach?
Athlete that the NFL has ever seen. That's how he was able to do all that stuff. Think about it. Think about what he did against the Minnesota Vikings that time when he won that game in overtime. And he scored a touchdown and ran up into the tunnel. Nobody has seen an athlete play the quarterback position like that in the NFL ever, bro.
I got to jump in. I agree.
Go ahead, Coach.
I agree with everything you just said.
Coach Brown, and Coach Mr. Turner, Mr. Football. I definitely hear where you're coming from, but this speaks to what I'm talking about. This speaks to what I'm talking about.
I kind of disagree.
No, listen though. This is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this: you have one of the premier athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the position that he's playing.
Exactly.
Premier athletes to ever play football. Period. No matter what position. So why would you take him and sit him in the pocket anyway where he's a lame duck? That's
mm-hmm.
the whole point. See, the creativity, look, Tim Tebow is no type of quarterback at all for the NFL. But I give what's his name credit. I forget the name now. What was the head coach out there at Denver?
Josh McDaniels,
mm-hmm.
the head coach of Denver at the time.
He was the offensive coordinator at the time. But Fox was the head coach. I give him credit because they said, look, let's tailor what we're going to do offensively around what this guy does. See, now,
mm-hmm.
what if the NFL had done that 20, 30 years ago
mm-hmm.
with some of these other quarterbacks that came out and they made them go wide receivers and defensive backs and everything else? What if they did that with Michael
mm-hmm.
Vick? I always said that about Vic.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going to put him in an offense with two tight ends, a tailback and a fullback, and have him doing play action and dropping back? Come on, man. What good is all that speed that he has?
And that's the point. But my thing is that both of your points are very – all I'm saying is that how can you sit up and say he can't read defenses when this guy was making plays? And you look at all the quarterbacks in the National Football League in the history, it's not a lot of quarterbacks that got their team from one game going to the Super Bowl. With the talent level he had really, to be honest, C-level talent at the skill positions. Algie Crumpler is probably – The best receiver. And then you sitting up there, you coming to the line of scrimmage. You know Coach Brown, you're playing at a high level. Coach Spence, you're coaching mm-hmm. at a high level. You're going to tell me he coming to the line of scrimmage and all of a sudden he can't read defenses, but he making plays? It's almost so much athletic ability you can do now. You got to be able to recognize that coverage in the secondary, Coach Brown. You know, what in that cover too, or where that safety coming in, and he cheating on the line, or he playing over to your best receiver. Come on. I'm not going to buy that he can't read defenses. I think he was just saying that because at the time he was more or less trying to get back in the league, and his career was at the end. You see what I'm saying? Then think about when he got in Philly. Yeah, and then when he got with Andy Reid, you saw what he do. But we got one more caller that want to join us this evening, gentlemen. If y'all don't mind,
yes,
it's a call on the line. Phone number 657-383-1177. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Caller, state your name, where you calling from this evening. How you doing? Welcome to 100 Yards Football and Blog Talk this evening as we talking about the history of the black quarterbacks. Caller?
Yes, sir.
Caller? Yes, sir. How you doing this evening? State your name.
Certainly. This is Mark, brother, and it's great to be on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, right now, Mr. Ma, we got Coach Spencer and we got Coach Brown joining us this evening, a special guest. And a lot of people don't know Mr. Mark, who's calling in, one of the most talented voices doing voiceovers here in the Atlanta area. He does commercials right now for Home Depot. He also does a promo for 100 Yards of Football on the national radio show that comes on 1570 WIGO. And most of all, Mark is from the great state of Texas, gentlemen, a really high state that produces football. He's from Lufkin, Texas, hometown of Dez Bryant, excuse me, this evening. So, Mark, as we got about 5 minutes in the show, the question is, we talking about Michael Vick and his athletic ability. Whether or not could he read defenses? Am I right, coaches? Are we right there?
Yes, sir.
So your time, what do you think, Mike? Well, my question originally was, what would you think if Mike Vick had been in an offense such as Peyton Manning and had the offensive weaponry that Peyton Manning had and Marvis Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Etrin James, Joseph O'Dowd? How do you think Michael Vick's career would have turned out?
Wow, man. Well, firstly, I appreciate the introduction, man, or the credentials that you laid out, man. But it's been a very, very highly spirited conversation because I'll attempt to answer your question pointedly, but the broader question or the subject matter that you guys is really were talking about earlier is what prompted me to call in just in general about the black quarterback. And Coach Spencer said something, as well as Coach Brown, man, that I thought resonated with me, and I'll try to tie it into Michael Vick in that the league, man, has really tried to make what many of our black quarterbacks attributes are. They have tried to make them like a flaw or an impediment. Instead of coaching up their attributes, what makes them strong and their strengths, and then laying out their mythology that, you know, that we're not students of the game, that we don't go in and do film study. So, again, as that pertains to Michael Vick, if you want to talk about Vick, I think that there's even was recently a discussion about would Peyton Manning have done better in New England as opposed to Tom Brady. And I definitely think, of course, that if you stick a Michael Vick in either one or two of their situations, even though Peyton Manning had a longer road to hoe to turn his franchise around when he got to that franchise, I think Vick would have done good or well or much better in his career had he been at either one of those organizations, that they had given him the time and everything afforded both of those quarterbacks. Yes.
Coach Brown?
No. Me. the proof is in the pudding, brother. You look at Peyton Manning, think about this for a second. Does anybody on the line remember Peyton Manning's first year in the NFL?
He threw 27. He threw 27 interceptions.
Yeah,
I remember
they won three games.
So put Michael Vick in that situation, brother. We would have never heard of him again.
Coach,
you're exactly right. They wouldn't have afforded him that long.
Go ahead, Coach Spencer.
Now put him in New England. And have him be a seventh round draft pick or a sixth round draft pick like Tom Brady was. He never would have gotten the chance to be the backup quarterback. That's what I'm saying. Put him in them situations. He was not going to get the same chance that they got first and foremost. And his mental state wouldn't allow him to persevere through that. Now that we've seen what has happened to him, I don't believe he mentally could have did it. So that's why I say no. He put him in the situation. He still wouldn't have did anything. Much more than what he did, and he had a phenomenal career here in Atlanta. But he was the face of the NFL here in Atlanta.
Right. Well, what I say to that is that I don't think if he's in Indianapolis that he passes for 3,000, 4,000 yards like Peyton Manning. I don't think he does that, but I think he wins more. Because the one knock on Peyton is that if you can hit him, if you can put pressure on him, you're going to knock him down a couple of times. See, Vick wasn't going to hit him like that. And see,
right.
So I don't think he would have been as prolific as a passer as Peyton Manning. But I do think that he would have won more championships. Because he almost took the Falcons to the championship with nothing.
With nothing.
That's with
true.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And then you put, on top of that, you put Tony Dungy on top of that. See,
you got
a man who can relate to this guy, who knows how to talk to the guy, who knows the pitfalls that's waiting for this dude, and he really cares. Whereas the Falcons, man, all they care about, man, are you putting people in these seats? That's really all it's about.
Okay, we got 1 minute left in the show, gentlemen. Final words of the evening, because the show is going about fast. It's only 30 minutes. Right quick, I'm going to propose this to the panel. We got three African-American quarterbacks playing at a high level. Which one wins more Super Bowls, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, or Cam Newton? Coach Brown.
Russell Wilson.
Coach Spencer.
Cam Newton.
Mr. Mark Bass.
Oh, man, I got to go with Russell Wilson.
And I'm going to end it with this. I think the young man, Mr. Jameis Winston, is going to shock all of us. I'm taking Jameis Winston out of all three of them. But y'all been great tonight on the panel, man. We'll be back sometime this week. I'd like to say thank you, Coach Brown.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, Coach Spencer.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on. Enjoy it. It was a lot of fun.
And thank you, Mr. Mark Bass. God bless, and we'll see you. next time here on 100 Yards of Football, the Blog Talk issue. Thank you and God bless.